So I thought I would follow the Brian Franz style and talk about the big picture in the background instead of the content that you can find in the proceedings. And I want to start with the keywords, one of the keywords here, and that is survival. So he was a professor in physics in Stockholm. And he also worked for
Saab in Linköping, where I come from, and that's an airplane manufacturer. And I will tell you what airplanes have to do with color afterwards. Anyway, so this is not the main content of the talk, but it's only thought as a motivation of what will come. So think of we have a green leaf, and we want to extract the vein structure in this leaf. And the general processing cycle that we have is that we map the RGB channels and we map them into some type of intensity image. Then we do edge detection. Then we evaluate how good this triple ABC worked. And then we go on until we are satisfied. So that's the idea. And the question that you have here is now, how should we do the combination? How do we find good A, B, and C? So this is what this talk is about. So the first step is the edge detection, and I don't want to say so much about it, because that's something that is really old. But we filter it, and as a result, we have a filter image, and the filter values are non-negative. It's type of magnitude, edge strength. We find that many pixels will have very low values, and these filter the pixels where the filters are high valued, these are the interesting points. And so we analyze now the statistical distribution of these edge strength results. And for many applications, you find that you can fit these distributions reasonably well with something that's called the Weibull distribution. And what you have to know here is that these distributions are specified by two parameters. Sigma is the scale and kappa is the shape. So that's a typical distribution. We have many that are small valued and then a few that are high valued. So we looked at large databases and tried to characterize the visual content of how these images are looking in terms of Weibull distributions, Fresher distributions, and Gumbel distributions, which all belong to the same family. And what is interesting here is that, for example, up here, there are high-frequency patterns there, and they are characterized by large scale and large shape parameters. So that's something that you have to keep in mind. Here comes the reliability the airplane industry in, because I think he invented these type of distributions to describe when things break down. So this is the Silicon Valley model: let 100,000 flowers bloom, and then some of them survive and become Google. This one here is more like a Swiss luxury clocks. They never go, never break, and they become very old. So, and what you have here is you have a large variation of these different shapes. So that's one of the interesting thing here. Relation to the edge thing is the edge detection is perhaps that you can think of the edge detector as a type of comparison between values at different pixels. If the difference is very small, then you can think of it as a type of crack. And then you look at type of crack statistics. How many small cracks do we have? How many large cracks that you have? So it's natural to look at these things here. Okay. The next step, that is now something that the Weibull distributions have been used before. This here is something that is probably useful, which means that you now have statistical distributions and you want to compare them. You want to say, how near are they? How can we manipulate them? And so what we want to have is we want to have a metric in the space of these statistical distributions. And when you look at the literature, the standard thing that everybody is doing is they define the Fisher metric. And the Fisher metric gives for every point, for every statistical distribution, a metric at that point that describes the space, the shape of the space around that point. And that's the definition. So you don't need to recall this, but the thing is that you get for a two-parameter manifold, you get a 2x2 matrix that describes the metric, the geometry around this point here. And once you have this metric, you can say something about distances, you can say something about angles, and you can measure things. So that's something that is very useful. And you can compute these in these special cases. And now you can say, okay, what do we want? Yeah, we want to have something that we want to optimize. So you have your given set of parameters. You end up at some sigma kappa point. And then you can say, this sigma kappa point has some type of cost function, and we want to minimize this cost function. The way how you define this cost function depends on you, on your task. Some examples here, you can say you want to have the variance of this distribution as a cost function. You can have something which is a function of the metric, or you can invent something more exotic. So what do we do? We start with the image, we compute the filter, we estimate the Weibull parameters, we go to the manifold, we define the cost, we try to manipulate our parameters so that this cost is minimized, and then we end up with a good solution. So the next step is, what cost function do we use? So one of the examples here is that I say I want to minimize the trace of this metric. Why should we use the minimum? One thing is that you look, here is the minimum. We are in the upper right corner. So that's a good sign. But there is also a theoretical argument about this, which says that if you want to estimate the properties of this stochastic process with an unbiased estimator, then the Kramer-Rao bound gives you the best possible solution that you have. And the Kramer-Rao bound is given by the inverse of the Fisher metric. So if this thing here is very low, then the variance of your stochastic process is very large, so you have a lot of information. So this is a good choice. And you can give this here as an analytic function of your statistical parameters. So what happens? We can look at the result here. So this is the result when we have a low trace. Here we have a big trace. You get more structure here. We can look at how different RGB to Cray algorithms figure in this cost function. So here is the identity, and here is the RGB to Cray. And you see RGB to Cray is better than the identity. You can see this here on the cost numbers. So RGB to Cray is better than the identity. So, okay. If the projector would be working as it should do, then you should see here a blue leaf. So I take the same one and simply change the color to blue. I do the same thing. Here I have a RGB to gray conversion. You have nothing. If I do the optimization, you get this one here. So it's depending on the input that you get. And so this is a good choice, probably. Here is just another way to illustrate this. So here we have essentially silver or black and white leaves here, downloaded from some website here. And this is trace-based, and this is 111. Not so big difference. Take another one, which is a purple flower. And you see here, perhaps you see here, or you can see it hopefully in the proceedings, that you have much more structure here, more fine details than here. So this is also working better. An interesting thing that came up is the next example. So we did this one here. We take the trace based and we take the RGB to gray. The RGB to gray picks up all the different gray value differences here. But if we use this one here, it's the type of saliency feature. So it picks up the small red dots here. So that's good. So one of the applications is this one here. So I have the color to gray. Then another application which we looked at is autofocus. So in this case here, you have a one parameter transformation here, which is the focal parameter on where you focus your camera. And you want to find the lens parameter so that you get the best distribution here in your generated image. Dynamic range is probably of the same type. So here we can try to pick some type of range and then adaptively change this picking algorithm so that the information is maximized. And so the preliminary summary here is what you are doing. You have the low-level filtering, which is, in this case, very natural because it is defined in terms of the symmetry properties of the grid. It leads to two types of filters, an averaging and a difference filter. The difference filter you can describe with the statistical distribution, and in this case you do the extreme value distributions. You go to the statistical manifold, you have the cost function, and then you control the whole loop. So that's the basic thing. And then you can use each of these steps to solve your problem at hand. That's the basic idea. If we go to the autofocus case here, then I think one interesting aspect of this approach is that you can do optimization on the manifold because you have the cost function here, you have the geometry on the manifold, and then you can go along the curve of your autofocus parameter here, and you can optimize so that you go a good step here, so that you minimize the number of steps needed until you find the focused image. So you can do optimization on manifolds because everything here is known about this thing here, and it's known analytically. So you can compute analytic gradients, you can compute Hessians or whatever you want. Okay. So this is one of the examples. And here we have 192 images, and here we have the total focus. So at each point, we compute the statistics, and we compute the optimized, the optimal focal plane. And you can see here in the beginning, everything is blurred. Here at the end, this frame here is sharp, and here in this image, really everything is sharp. So now comes the next question. People who have worked with Weibull distributions will probably say, ah, can forget this, because estimation of these Weibull parameters is notoriously time-consuming, difficult. So to do this estimation for every point in a 512-squared image on Weibull, maximum likelihood estimation, is not possible. I guess it's not realistic. If you think in terms of human vision, it's probably also not very likely that we do it. So we have to do something else. And so I end with the same style here. And I say what you should do is you should look at a person named Emil Gumbel. And if you take the Gumbel distribution, which is related to the Weibull distribution, then you can do these estimations in parallel. You can do it by linear filtering, and that's what I used for this total focus image. And so we have then a fast estimation of these parameters in this transformed space. So that's the main message. So filtering, extreme value distributions, Fisher metric with the statistical manifold. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have time for one question, please. Anyone?
Do you also use the goodness of fit of the Weibull?
We computed the goodness of fit for these database examples where we looked for several, I don't know, 1,000 images from a database and looked at the fit measures. And there we had there we did really the statistical estimation, and we looked at each image, which one is fitting better, the Freshet, the Gumbel, or the Weibull. And it turns out that there are characteristic regions in this image space, let's see, which are more like Gumbel and more like Freshet regions. So obviously, not everything fits into this Weibull or Gumbel distribution. But my point is that it's fitting good enough for enough cases, so that's interesting. And if you have to decide what you want to do, and the argument of speed is of importance, then do this.
Good, thank you. Okay, thank you. Let's thank the speaker again, and if you have more questions.